Okay, here I am with Bill O'Connor from North Shore Kid. This is April 18th, 2013. Two podcasts in 2 days. Bill is my guest. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Joe. How are you?
How's things at North Shore Kid?
Pretty busy this week. It's school vacation.
Oh, everybody's... Well, I couldn't have picked a better week to have you come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the highlights for North Shore Kid? Say you have a kid. What are some of the top? Give me the top three.
Top three
this week.
Let's go around North Shore then. I would say Maritime Gloucester first of all has a program every day this week for kids. Mm-hmm. Two of the days this week they teamed up with Cape Ann Art Haven.
Yeah. So two great community organizations
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, like today, they're doing. It's Thursday, so they're doing exploring art, exploring science through art. So kids go to the Cape Ann Art Haven, they hook up with the group down over there. Then they walk down to Maritime Gloucester,
yeah.
And then they use what they learn there to create art, which is.
About Gloucester, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got fishing, you got art. You got
science.
You got the science. I mean, this is like really two great, great organizations. And those people that they're there, they're not in it for the work for the money. They're doing it because they love kids and they love the community. Two great organizations. Okay, that's number one. So give me number two.
I would say up in Newburyport, they have the Mass Audubon Joppa Flat Center. Right there on the Newburyport Turnpike on the way out to Plum Island, which is a great center for just going and learning about the Merrimack River Estuary, the Parker River Estuary.
They have programs?
Oh, yeah. This week they have drop-in programs, which you just, they call them flybys.
Yeah.
And they're designed to just fit a family schedule.
Give me an example of what you would do there. What is it? Is it like trail walks and stuff like that, or are there like you're in a classroom learning about?
Well, they have family oriented activities that are educational for kids of different age groups set up inside the center. They have activities that go on outside. Mm-hmm. They do bird watching. They teach about the natural history of the area, about the creatures that live in the estuary. And it's a great learning experience. I mean, it's hard to go there and not learn something new.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I like.
And it's fun for kids.
I don't know why, because I haven't gone there, and I've always wanted to go there. I think the reason we haven't gone there is because you haven't been able to do the flyby stuff. It's more of a, we've called there, and it's been, we have a set, you have to have signed up for this in advance. But now that I know that there's flyby things, I'd be more apt to do that. We usually go to the one in Topsfield, but I think it's called
Ipswich River. That was the other one I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Because that's like a wonderful place.
Bananas,
for anyone to go to, but kids love it to explore.
Yeah. Get outside, fresh air.
Yep.
We always see some wildlife. You bring, great tip. Go to like one of the marketplaces, get some you get like a 5-pound bag of sunflower seeds for $2.50, and you hold your hand out with the seeds, and the birds come eat out of your hands.
Yeah, I sent you a photo of that last year with a bird flying right off my hand.
Yep.
I didn't have any bird seed, but I was walking through the sanctuary, and these birds, the sanctuary was closed. So I parked outside the sanctuary and walked in, and I was walking through, and I was just there to take photos for that day. And these birds were like following me.
Yeah.
I was walking
trained.
Down this, so they would hop along the bush as they were coming out, and they were looking at me. So just on a whim, I stuck my finger out, and these things were landing on my finger.
Coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
totally
yeah.
Cool.
Wow. So they have great programs too. Most of the week, I think they had 3 days, 4 days of programs this week, and those are more like they call them adventure days.
Hmm.
But it's a day set up. It's like a day camp.
You can pop in
for your kids.
And you can pop in there anytime, and it's just fantastic. So there's the top three, but go to NorthShoreKid.com.
Yep.
And there'll be way more stuff. If outdoor stuff doesn't tickle your fancy, I'm sure there's a bazillion other things.
Yeah, well, there's a bajillion things going on this weekend.
Yeah.
you know, because it's Earth Day.
Like I always, say, like if you can't find it on North Shore Kid, like my wife, whenever we're like faced with, you know, a day with the kids that we really don't have an idea, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, Google it. No, it's like North Shore. Did you go to North Shore Kid? I ask it. First thing I always ask her. So that's great. All right, Bill, go to North Shore Kid. Okay, here is a question that I've been discussing with everybody the last couple podcasts I've done.
Okay.
Over under on the date, and we actually, you and I had a discussion about this before too. May 18th, do you think that the Good Harbor Beach footbridge will be repaired by that date? May 18th. It's 1 month from today.
I would say they would have it done by the 31st.
You're going by, okay, because that's Paul Morrison.
That's Memorial Day weekend.
That's what Paul Morrison said too. So you're going, but by the 18th, you're taking the over. And I pegged it.
Let's say I give the city a little leeway.
Yeah, you're giving them a little leeway. All right, well, no, that's fair. I'm not, I was just curious because.
It's not that I don't have faith that they want to fix it.
It takes
But sometimes when there's a bureaucracy and there's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
It's hard to get things accomplished in a timely fashion,
especially when it's on the waterfront.
Anything
on the water, you never know. You never know who is gonna, you know, stick their claw in there or whatever.
Put their foot in there. Yeah,
So hopefully it gets done because, like I said, so many people. I mean, Good Harbor, and that's the access point for a lot of people that take walks, walk their dogs, and everything else. And
to tell you the truth, I'm glad that they. I'm glad they went in and got rid of the stuff that was
to make it almost passable.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. For safety.
Because I would have hated to see the city be sued.
Yeah.
Because some nutbag thought it was okay to, you know.
And there are a lot of nutbags.
Well, there are people out there who think they're more capable than they are.
Yeah. No, that's they're doing the right thing.
Myself included.
I hope it gets done though, because I want to have the rubber duck race. You know, and that's
what on the creek.
Yeah, on the creek. You know, I want to have it there and then have a cookout, like, right in that little area. I think it would be cool. Like, early spring, not quite summer yet, but use the beach. So, all right, Bill's going officially.
I don't know. Do you have permission to do that, Joe?
Shh. We don't ask permission. We ask forgiveness. So, this is, that's on the 8th. So you're going with the over. Most people have taken the over. I pegged the date as the 18th because, you know, so I took all things into consideration.
I mean, I've seen the city do a lot in a short amount of time, but I've also seen certain things take forever.
Like, for example, very close to there, you remember that little bridge? It's a roadway, but it's kind of like a bridge where the marsh is. If you're going, you know, just going to go, if you're taking, is it Thatcher Road? To go into the parking lot where Stop and Shop is.
Yeah.
And we're, you know,
remember that bridge?
That bridge took
forever.
I was like, what are they doing? It was like, I think it was over a year or something. Yeah. And I don't even know if that probably wasn't even the city. Yeah. It was probably the state or something.
Because it's 127.
But it was like, wow, what the heck is going on there? So, God hope for the sake of the citizens that like to get on that beach.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
That has to be priority.
Good Harbor.
Has to be a priority.
It has to be.
If
it's not, okay, they should be looking into having a temporary bridge put right next to it. I mean, the Army has these temporary bridges they can put up in a matter of less than an hour.
I'm going to get Melissa Cox, my buddy, the city councilor, I'm going to get her in here and I'm going to ask her what the official word is. Okay, are you participating in Earth Day in any way? Do you have any plans? Do you know when?
I participate in Earth Day every single day.
Every single day. Do you know when Earth Day is? You must, because you run the blog.
It's people celebrate it over the weekend, but usually it's April 20th.
It's April 22nd is the official date, and which I think is strange that they have an official date. And I think it should be like the third Saturday, because the 22nd is a Monday, and it's always the same day, April 22nd every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's bad because some people have work and everything gets kind of
most people are trying diluted. To celebrate it this year on that Saturday.
Well, I got this schedule that I've been doing and it's literally there are events for Earth Day official, you know, titled Earth Day events from the 17th all the way to the 27th.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, it's great, but I think more of a third Saturday of April would be more effective for to get people all on the same page.
Well, if you go on a geological clock,
yeah,
right, whether it's on the 21st or the 27th, it really doesn't matter.
Oh, there you go. There's Bill's answer. All right, we're going to talk about something maybe people consider controversial here.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to...
keep me out of it.
Well, you know, not that kind of controversial, but like, you know, Paul Morrison.
Paul Morrison.
Good contributor for the blog. He does a lot of good stuff and everything. He has self-proclaimed himself as my antagonist. He likes to, for the sake of taking opposing views... Just take opposing view. He likes to take a view of the underdog. For example, he is in favor of, I hope I'm quoting him right. And this might be not right, but I think he takes the idea of the coyote is more important than the house pet. He takes, whatever issue, he is more in favor of being politically correct across the board.
The coyote is more important than the house pet?
Well, he's got an affinity for coy wolves. He thinks that I think his issue is that they're, because they were here before us, that they're more important than the house pet and whatever. I'm not even talking about. But do you think that his play? Do you think? I guess this is my issue. My issue is this. I really like Paul, and I enjoy. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I do agree with him on a bunch of things. But I don't. I think what he thinks is that he's being funny. When he takes shots at me in the comment section on the blog, and what I don't think he realizes that there are a ton of people that they take those comments they don't understand that our conversations that might be in private between me and him, and we hash these things out and stuff like that. Some people get really upset and really angry. So do you think that? It's important to have an antagonist Paul Morrison, or do you think those conversations are better left amongst coffee shop, meeting, Good Morning Gloucester meetings behind the scenes?
I think having an antagonist is important, but there's a fine line between being the devil's advocate in a conversation and throwing somebody under the bus. And there's been a couple of times on the blog that I've seen your own contributors basically throw you under the bus, and I just don't get it. A lot of these people would be unknown if it weren't for Good Morning Gloucester, and I think they owe a lot to you for making these people the personalities that they are in the community. For instance, there was the issue with Paul Morrison this week with the the looting video that you posted. I really can't understand where he. I just don't understand why he thinks that he should call you out on that in public in the comments of your post. Telling you should take the content down. I mean, basically, he's telling you to censor yourself. Mm. And I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Another situation that arose previously that made me really upset was when Father Green came forward and was like, "Do you think my contribution on Good Morning Gloucester reflects poorly on me?" I just don't understand that kind of mentality. I couldn't imagine you, Joey, turning around and saying to your readership, "Hey, everybody, do you think the fact that I have a Catholic priest posting on my blog reflects poorly on Good Morning Gloucester?"
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, there's a saying, he who hasn't sinned may cast the first stone, and maybe we should take it from there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I wow. Okay. Well, let me first off, I'm going to say about the marathon thing, because it wasn't the way I reacted to Paul on the marathon one was, because Paul and he'd be the first one to admit this, likes to take the antagonistic role of the opposite position of what I take, sometimes for the sake of taking it. Because he was the first person to say, this is, you know, you should post pictures of positive things at this time. Where I was coming from at that very moment was the day before on the news, it was the same shot that was being shown over and over again of the blast at the marathon with the guy falling down. And it must have been replayed
a gajillion times,
yeah. Over and over and over again. So I was looking for content.
And we've had this discussion.
Right. But I was looking for content that was unique. And so I found a video with the woman who had the helmet cam, like with that vision of the blast going off from her as a runner, first perspective, at the time it had only had 30 views on YouTube, which I thought was extraordinary. I'm like, wow, I'm like, no one has seen any of this other footage because it's all they've seen is this. This will be interesting for the blog. So I put that up. And then I saw
There's another thing I want to bring up about that. When these tragedies happen, you see these clips of things that happen, and then they just sort of disappear into the other reel.
Yeah.
You never see them again.
Yeah.
Right? And, so it's important when you see something that they're not showing to get it out there.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's an important piece of the puzzle. You know what, Joey? I had seen that video only one other place before I saw it on your blog.
Yeah.
Right? And you're right. It's the mass media's job, okay, to bombard us with, the standardized story as it's being made. But it's it's your job as a blogger to create and find the different parts of the story that other people aren't talking about. That's what makes the blog sphere so powerful.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, and I guess that one with the woman was not the one that Paul was actually talking about. Paul was talking about the one with the looters, and I clearly, to me, they were looting. Someone I respect that it does not always take the antagonistic role. David Cox, who I highly respect, said the same thing. He took the same position as Paul Morrison. This isn't the time for this kind of thing. And you know what? Here's what I want people to understand. The reason that Good Morning Gloucester is as popular as it is we're not. I am not going to be vanilla I try to push the envelope as much as I possibly can. And there's a lot of gray where I'm putting myself out there and putting out views that are not necessarily the politically correct views, but I'm putting out a view, and sometimes I'm pushing it a little bit because I want to create a discussion, and I want people to think, and honestly, a lot of it's just, blowing stuff up a little bit. I'm not a reporter. I shouldn't be held to journalistic standards. I can editorialize and make jokes, and a lot of it is satire and stuff, and when you put yourself out there on the gray and you're out on the end of the line and trying to push the envelope, it's really easy to take shots at those people. So, at that time, with Paul, I felt, geez, Paul, you really got to throw, he's done this a couple times now. And at the times when everybody is very emotional, it's, to me, and again, I really like Paul and everything, and I like his perspective, but I just don't appreciate when, here you are. What are you trying to do? You're trying to make yourself look great and saintly right now, at my expense? I mean, I was trying to provide material that was a little bit different than the rest of the media was bringing. I don't want to censor him. But I would just think that I question if he was ever part of some kind of team spirit where we're all work, I don't think that he realizes his jokes and his trying to take the other side sometimes when there's really heightened emotions about certain subjects, there's people that are ready to jump down my throat.
Well,
and I don't need like people piling on at that particular time.
And to tell you the truth, Joey, I don't know a lot about Paul. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. He's
a very interesting guy. I mean, okay. he really is.
I really don't know much about him besides what I've read on the blog.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are a couple points here, but the first point is, I take loyalty seriously. Okay, and loyalty to me is more important than expressing your opinion in some situations. And I would have to say that with your post about the people who were supposedly looting, you know, regardless of what was actually going on in the post, you felt it was important to show that, and I understand why you did. Okay. And, you know, it's that kind of behavior is the kind of behavior that sort of upsets me, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, if Paul had something to say to about it to you, pick up the phone, dude.
Yeah, he could, you know? he could have said, oh, Joe, you know, he could have emailed me. Right.
This also leads to my other point.
OK.
OK. And my other point is that. A lot of the media today is a popularity contest. It's about what's popular, okay? So, you know, a lot of news we don't know about because it's not popular.
Yeah.
It doesn't test well, right?
Yeah.
And that's the same. It's like politicization.
Yeah.
They've politicized news.
Yeah.
Where, you know, focus group has decided what the news story of the day is going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but you don't seem like the kind of guy who cares what the focus group thinks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, too, with this particular case, I think the people that were listening to talk radio and the television on that day before I had posted that, and I hadn't. I tuned it out because I was just...
Yeah, you were in Cincinnati or whatever.
I was coming home from Naples, and I was with my daughter, and she wasn't feeling good, so we were watching cartoons at the time. I didn't know about it. So... on the media, what was happening outside of what my periphery was, there was this big Boston Strong movement. We're one. We're unified. We're going to overcome that. This is great. We're the greatest city in the world. So I think like Paul Morrison and David Cox, like their point was, this isn't the time to show anything negative about Boston right now. This is the time to unite people. So to take the counter point of what I think where Paul Morrison and David Cox were coming from was they had probably watched television and the radio and everything and had been listening to all this built up of positive Boston energy whereas I hadn't. And so me walking the, you know, putting it out there, like, you know, something that's pretty controversial, maybe had I been listening to the same news sources as they had all day and been filled with Boston pride, maybe I wouldn't have put that out there, but I wasn't. And I'm not defending myself. I don't know what I would have done if I would have posted that, if I had listened to the same news sources as they had listened to all day long, but whatever.
The whole Boston pride thing serves its purpose. Yeah. And, you know, it's a natural reflexive reaction. It's, you know, you want that. You want that when you're feeling insecure, when you're, the worst part about the Boston bombing to me is the shattering of the illusion of security. We all think that where you have some sort of security and, you know, situations like this or the Newtown experience or, you know, 9/11 or whatever, it shatters that veil and people feel uncomfortable about it and they want to feel empowered. And that's how they do it, through trying to become more informed about what happens.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for most people. But at the same time, sometimes it goes too far. And that's how you end up with, you know, some of the stuff that happened with our government after 9/11, you know.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
You know,
I think we beat that one to pretty good.
Into the ground.
Yeah, well, that's good, though. I think it was a good discussion. And again, like, you know, Father Green, and I respect, and, you know, and I'm happy to have opposing views. I just, you know,
views are part of a healthy debate.
Yeah.
But
I think you pick your time. The last point that I want to make is, I think, like, in that case, like, if Paul really felt that way, and he said, hey, Joe, I think you're off on this one. He could have emailed me and said, hey, Joe, you know, right now, this is what's going on in Boston. And maybe you're not in touch with it. And had a conversation outside of, like, posting it publicly on the blog. And like Paul Frontero emailed me last night. He says, I don't like that, you know, you have this big, long Earth Day post at the very top of the blog. And it's taking up all this space and stuff like that, right? And I took it under advisement, and I took it, and I made it unsticky, so people don't have to roll past all the things. I'm not
just put the map there.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Embed the map.
But the fact is, like, you know, I'm not outside. I'm not so stubborn. But, like, when you put me on the spot publicly,
then you become stubborn.
Then I'm telling you, because I don't want to be pushed around. I do not want to be. The last thing I want to do is be pushed around by politically correct people that are holier than thou. So, okay, let's talk about yesterday morning. I walked out of my house, and there was a ton of pink flamingos with a big sign that says, you have been flocked. Not fucked, flocked.
Yeah.
And I had just assumed, I walked right past it. I was like, oh, that's cute. I walked right past it because I assumed it was for my wife, because I live in the town where my wife was born, not where I was born. And she calls me up later in the day. She goes, this was for you. She goes, do you know who did it? And I had been scratching my head for a day and a half, not thinking anyone would care enough, because it costs money to flock someone, to send these, like, my whole front yard covered with pink flamingos. It's pretty hilarious. It's hilarious, right? Yeah. And so lo and behold.
How many were there?
It had to be, I'm going to say, conservatively 18, maybe 25, yeah. Something like that. I mean, total scene. Hilarious. Come, lo and behold, so I had given up thinking. I'm like, Manchester. So it was put on by the Manchester's Mothers Club. You can flock somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come, and I guess in the cover of darkness, you wake up in the morning and there's this scene in front of your house that, you know, you've, with a big sign saying you've been flocked. And I guess it's a way to raise money for their organization, because I guess it costs, there was a note inside and it says, if you would like to flock someone, you could pay $20 and have, you know, and get and flock someone else. It sounds funny to say flock somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then for an additional $5, you can remain anonymous and they won't know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they, you know, and they also go on to explain that they will, by the next day, you don't have to do anything. Don't freak out. Like, we'll come back and reclaim these things. And by the next night, under the cover of darkness, they magically disappear. Lo and behold, why don't you explain how it all went down?
Basically, how it all went down was that I saw that they were doing, I saw that the Manchester Mothers Club was doing this as a fundraiser, and I thought it was such an awesome fundraising idea that I wrote a story about it on North Shore Kid, trying to help out the Manchester's Mothers Club, because it's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And for what it is, I mean, for what they actually do.
You get a huge bang for your buck.
Exactly. It's 25
huge,
bucks.
Huge impact.
What's that? You know, a few cups of coffee?
Huge impact.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
anybody can do this, though, right?
Yeah, anyone can do it.
So how do they get a hold of the, how do they get a hold of the Manchester?
They just website? Go to Manchester Mother Club website, and there's a form right there. That
do you have a link fill. Through North Shore Kid?
Yeah, there's a story on North Shore Kid about it. I'll repost it today to make sure it's on the
front
page.
Okay, cool. I'll link to it, too.
And, I asked them to flock you so they could get a little more get a little more audience from doing it.
Very cool.
So it was me. I asked them to do it anonymously, but yes, it was me.
It was you. You're outed. You're outed as the flock.
The only thing is
you were the flocker and I was the flocky.
Yes. And I don't know if you can flock yourself, but
I've tried. But yes. Okay, last thing I want to talk about is, well, I was down, just came back from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We were up in Barefoot Beach, which I'd never been to. It's in Bonita Beach, the city of Bonita Beach, it's Barefoot Beach. And they had this huge, it had to be 2 or 3 feet in diameter, black hose that went out into the ocean.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Came up, and they were pumping sand from the ocean back onto the beach. Reclamation is what it was. They had a couple of storms that had taken like the I guess they have dunes, but like a lot of the beach had been eroded, and they are using this system. They're pumping it, and they have big backhoes pushing the sand. Bulldozers. That's what it was. Pushing around. How do you feel about that? You think that's a good idea?
I don't know enough about it. You know, a lot of species live on the bottom of the ocean. So if you're grabbing sand from that habitat to reclaim, quote unquote, reclaim the beach, how is that affecting the habitat of the creatures that live there?
In the case of Good Harbor Beach or Winging Sheet Beach, if in the case that the beach was so eroded that at high tide the water went right up to the dunes, do you think it's something has to be done, or do you say, screw it, we're not going to have any more beach? What do you think?
That's a tough question, and it goes to man's desire to control the environment. If it's a matter of environment, a lot of people would say just let Mother Nature take its course. But if the beach is that important to the society, doing something like that, makes sense.
So you're basically the weatherman that says we have a 50% chance of rain and a 50% chance of sun. So you take both sides.
No, I'm not trying to take both sides. So let's.
You're saying it depends on which side you fall on.
I'm saying that if Mother Nature, okay, is taking your beach,
yeah,
there's a reason for that.
She's gonna keep taking your beach.
There's a reason for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like the people out on Plum Island.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Should those houses be kept being rebuilt over and over and over again?
Okay, I like this conversation. I love this conversation because, all right, now, go ahead, go forward. I want you to finish your thought.
Because we live in a climate, okay, and our climate is forever changing, right? And we can do things to resist it, but there's not a hell of a lot we can do to actually stop the forces of nature. I mean, we can try to control it, but in trying to control it, we can. There's always the law of unintended consequences,
okay.
And you can never foresee what's coming next.
Okay.
And it's just it is like the weatherman. He can predict what might happen, but he doesn't know until it's right on him.
Now now on Plum Island.
Okay.
These people had that was all basically like summer shacks. You know, that they were just summer. They shut them down in the winter, didn't really live there. And you have to feel terrible for people whose houses get washed out to the ocean. Watching that and seeing people's houses get wiped away is terrible.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
Because a lot of these people have lived their entire life
What about the ones that have bought those places in the past 10 years and have, like, you know, sunk ungodly sums of money. Say they didn't put any money into it, but they bought this house knowing, because if you didn't know that there's been beach erosion there, because as Fred Bowden showed, I think it was 1976 or 85, what it was, houses had been reclaimed from that area for more than a couple decades. So if you bought a house there, do you feel like it's the state's duty to somehow give you some aid or help you repair your house, or is it buyer beware, or is it?
I think
and should these houses be
okay?
Should they be able to refill in that land and rebuild their houses?
It's the cost of living on the edge of, you know, a huge body of water.
What do you,
you know?
So,
people are people, and they're going to want to rebuild what was there, right?
Yeah.
It's just like these people. It's just like the people in Japan who get washed away. You know, whole cities and towns get washed away by tsunamis. That's not the first time that's happened. Mm-hmm. It's happened a lot in Japan. And guess what? Those villages and cities reappear. They might reappear in a different shape or form. You know, the population might be different. The layout might be different. But people still go back to the edge of the water. Mm.
But the question was, do you think the state?
The problem on Newburyport is that the people are implementing strategies that aren't allowed by state law. Mm. Okay, they're taking matters into their own hands, and kind of thumbing their nose at the state. And I understand that they want to preserve what they have there, but at the same time, you have to come to terms with the fact that if you build your house on a sand dune, you know, it's a sand dune.
Yeah. I feel terrible for these people. I
do too.
My thing is that I don't know. I can't reconcile. If you know that if you buy a house in the past 10 years, knowing that these houses are being reclaimed by the sea, and then after the fact say, the state should help me out in this case, I have a hard time with that. But I do feel bad. We have to wrap this up right now. I have a boat pulling in. Thanks for being my guest,
no
Bill.
No problem, Joe.
It's fantastic. Thanks. We've got to do this again.
Yeah.
Go to northshorekid.com.
All right.